hearing is subdivision 2018-24, Goodwill Farm.
This is a cluster subdivision, divide 56.41 acres plus or minus into 104 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. The properties are lying on the west side of Bayard Road, approximately 1,200 feet north of Double Bridges Road. The tax parcels are District 134, Map 18, Parcels 55, Parcel 134, Map 19, Parcel 5, and Parcel 6. So the zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Staff would note for the record, there's a site plan and exhibit booklet, comments from DelDOT. The results of the TIS were emailed earlier today because we received them this morning. We received comments from the Sussex Conservation District, received comments from the Department of Agriculture, the Office of the State Fire Marshal, Denmark Watersheds, Waste and Hazardous Substances, Groundwater Discharge, the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department, the Delaware Electric Co-op, the Office of Drinking Water, the Sussex County Public Works Department, and the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. This also did go to PLUS, and a copy of that PLUS letter was included in your application, in your packet as well. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm a licensed landscape architect in the state of Delaware. With Land Tech Land Planning, presenting the application for Gulf Stream Development. I'm represented here this evening by Mr. Robert Harris, who is in the audience. Also, to participate with me in the presentation this evening is Jim McCulley with Watershed Eco, environmental sciences consultant. Betty Tustin, PE with the Traffic Group to discuss traffic engineering. Mike Coben with George Miles and Beer will talk about site civil engineering issues. In advance of this hearing, my firm, with contributions from the consultant team, prepared and submitted a design summary. Hopefully each of you has a copy of the book, and I'll be referring to that as I go through my presentation this evening. You'll note that a number of the documents in that book refer to Willow Run and Goodwill Farmer interchangeable subdivision names. The Mapping and Addressing Department actually denied Willow Run, and so Goodwill Farm is now the approved name. Tab 4 in that data book contains the Goodwill Farm preliminary site plan. I'll be referring to that throughout. So the Goodwill Farm site is an assemblage of three separate tax parcels. They total 56.6 acres by survey. Present zoning for all three parcels is AR1, and the application is for an AR1 cluster subdivision. We're seeking approval for 104 single-family detached home building lots with a small community swimming pool and bathhouse, sidewalks, walking trails, and a large centrally located community lake, and several smaller neighborhood ponds and vest parks throughout the community. Now, I'll begin the presentation with a look at the site for this proposed subdivision in much the same way as we did in advance of any land use planning. So describing the site with the images before you, the Goodwill Farm site is bound in the north by mature woodland of native species owned by several different property owners. Thank you, Janelle. Different property owners, and it does not presently appear to be managed actively for silviculture. In the northeast corner of the property is a telecommunications tower. It was approved by the Sussex County Board of Adjustment in 2008. The eastern boundary of the site abuts multiple existing single-family homes on 1.5 acre and larger lots, either stripped from Bayard Road or within the meadows at Bayard Subdivision. And to the southeast is an actively tilled 13-acre farmstead. You can see on this image that there's a residence and some outbuildings on that parcel. Also to the east is a three-way intersection of Pepper's Corner Road, Bayard Road, and Central Avenue, which leads north into the town of Ocean View. And this intersection provides an obvious gateway for access into this site. To the south, abutting Goodwill Farm are more single-family detached residences situated again on half acre and larger lots, most of which are stripped from Bayard Road. There is a subdivision called the Johnigan Subdivision, which is also immediately abutting this site. And parts of the Johnigan Subdivision and lands further south of that are mapped on the zoning map as B1, neighborhood business, and house a number of local businesses such as Sun Marine Maintenance Company. The western boundary of the property abuts active farmland except for an area of mature woodland that's in that northeast, northwest corner of the proposed subdivision. As to the topography of the site, the existing grades range approximately 6 feet across the site between elevations 20 and 14, and it generally slopes from north to south. Average grades in the center of the site are 16 to 18 foot contours, and you see a lot of ditching on the site. Those ditches occur in the areas of the site with the contours in the 14 and 15 foot range. Bring the next slide up, please. Thank you. So the site and agricultural fields to the west are bisected by what's known locally as the Williams Tax Ditch, also known as Williams Canal, which has multiple contributing tax ditch prongs and private agricultural ditch networks. You can see those coursing through the site. The red line, of course, is the outline of our property. These private ditches then all drain to the Williams Canal, and the Williams Canal then drains away from the Goodwill Farm site in a southeasterly direction. The Goodwill Farm site lies near the service area of Tidewater Utilities Public Water Company. It also, with adequate infrastructure to serve a proposed subdivision. Part of the site lies within the Artesian Water Company service area. So the public water service provider has not yet been chosen, but there are two options available, so we haven't worked out that deal yet. The site lies within a Sussex County sewer planning area and is within the design assumptions for sewer system, and sewer capacity is available. The entire Goodwill Farm site is mapped on the flood insurance rate map as other areas, Zone X, and FEMA describes that as Zone X areas are determined to be outside of the 0.2% annual chance of floodplain. So with that, I'm going to ask Mr. McCulley to briefly address a couple of topics. Mr. McCulley was on site in advance of any of the work being done for planning to deal with wetlands. He explored rare, threatened, and endangered species and conducted an environmental site assessment report.
Thank you, Jeff. For the record, Jim McCulley from Middletown, Delaware. I don't have anything exciting to tell you. I was out on the site. I identified two areas of isolated wetlands, which you saw on the first slide, one in the north and one in the south, and the Williams Canal tax ditch we identified as waters of the United States. No rare, threatened, and endangered species, no habitat, and as part of the phase one environmental site assessment, the only thing that we found was where the old general store is at the intersection there to the northeast, there was an old heating oil tank that leaked, and the petroleum is still in the ground. DENREC has decided that it wasn't a threat to human health or the environment and issued a no further action letter, but stated that if any development of the site was going to occur, that petroleum should be cleaned up at the time that the site was developed. And so we'll work out a plan with DENREC to do that. As we develop.
Thank you, Jim. Have you bring the preliminary site plan up, please? Thank you. So I'm going to describe the preliminary site plan. All the proposed new homes within Goodwill Farm will be limited to single-family detached dwellings. There's a single planned entrance to Goodwill Farm subdivision. It's aligned with the existing three-way intersection of Pepper's Corner Road, Byard Road, and Central Avenue. And later in this presentation, we'll hear from Betty Tustin, who will describe the traffic impact study she prepared and the resulting intersection improvements that have been recommended just today, as Janelle said, by DelDOT. At the gateway to Goodwill Farm, we've planned an open wet pond, approximately 1 acre in size. That pond will serve both stormwater management purposes and as an important entrance amenity for the residents, and to present an attractive off-site view into the new community from that Central Avenue intersection. For safe access into the subdivision, the land use plan proposes no homes on the entrance side of the street for a distance of 500 feet from that first intersection. The lots are planned along private subdivision streets where only the fronts of homes are visible within the subdivision, and also when viewed from off-site, no rear or backyard views will be seen from off-site. The private subdivision streets are arranged in a safe and logical design, with each one connecting to a main cartway that begins and ends at the gateway to the community. No proposed lots have direct access to state-maintained roads, and the subdivision streets and lots have been designed carefully to not impact any isolated wetlands on the site or cause the need for any realignment of existing tax ditch prongs or the Williams Canal main ditch. All lots are configured to be contained completely outside of all wetlands. The Goodwill Farm land use design also allows that nearly half of the existing 10 wooded acres on the site have been preserved, thereby minimizing existing tree removal. The natural tax ditch waterway features on the site with their associated maintenance buffers are all preserved with the proposed land use design, thereby allowing the natural migration of any wildlife to continue to move through the property after it's developed, much the same as it does today. The land use plan is designed to preserve large usable open space acreages on the property for use by the future residents and their guests, for as both active and passive recreation areas. The Sussex County Code buffering requirements have all been incorporated into the land use plan. I'll just run through those real quickly. Along site boundaries that abut active agricultural uses, a minimum 30-foot wide forested buffer is planned. Along the site boundaries that abut properties not in active agriculture, a minimum 20-foot wide forested buffer is planned. No proposed new dwellings are planned within 50 feet of any adjacent land use used primarily for agricultural purposes. No proposed new dwellings are located within 50 feet of existing residential development. You'll notice on the plan, if you squint, that there are several areas on the proposed land use plan where the perimeter forested buffers are not continuous. The reason for this is that all of those areas are associated with tax ditch maintenance easements. DENREC tax ditch rules prohibit planting forested buffers in designated maintenance buffer strips that parallel these ditches. But with the exception of that, all the buffer codes have been met. The subdivision plan, as you can see, proposes street trees. The illustration here is showing street trees in the amount of 2 trees per lot. There is a continuous sidewalk network, in this case on one side of the street, that connects all the homes at Goodwill Farm to each other and to the various amenity areas throughout the community. There is also a walking trail that's been added to surround the community lake that connects then to that street side sidewalk network. The lot sizes proposed in Goodwill Farm exceed the minimum 7,500 square foot lot area, exceed the 75 foot lot width and the 100 foot lot depth. And where possible, we've designed lots to extend up to and joining the forested buffer boundaries to eliminate irregular shapes of community open space that become maintenance problem areas. 25 acres of the 56.4 acre site have been preserved as open space, and open space as that term is defined in the Sussex Code. This represents by calculation then that Goodwill Farm will have preserved 44% of the property for as open space. There will be provisions within the Goodwill Farm restrictive covenants that require the Homeowners Association to engage a professional to develop a comprehensive open space management plan, that plan to be implemented by professional site maintenance companies. And that open space plan will address the perpetual maintenance of those open spaces to be carried out and using best management practices. So the open space plan will address the application of pesticides, fertilizers, pest and nuisance species control, and forested buffer maintenance. I'm going to ask Betty Tustin now to address the traffic impact issues that we had for the entrance and what we went through to receive the letter that we received today, where they've agreed with the entrance. And then following Betty, Mr. Cove is going to talk about the site utilities.
Good evening. My name is Betty Tustin. I am a project manager for the traffic group, registered professional engineer in Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. And I manage the Delmarva office for the traffic group, which is located in Berlin, Maryland. So we, as you are familiar with traffic impact studies, we did a traffic impact study as required by DelDOT under their guidelines. And as you know, we look at the two worst peak hours of the day, the morning peak hour and the evening peak hour. We take existing traffic volumes, we add in a growth factor, we add in traffic from known committed developments in the area, and we add in also our site traffic. And we analyze that based on national standards and the intersection. For an unsignalized intersection like this, each leg of the intersection gets a grade from A to F, and we project that the through movements on Ballard and Pepper's Corner Road will be operating a level service A, and on the side streets, since they're stop controlled on Central Avenue and our site access, will have a level service B, which basically means that during that one worst hour of the day, you can a driver can anticipate to wait no longer than 15 seconds to make his move. That's the one worst hour of the day. So we, again, worked with DelDOT to make improvements to the intersection of Central Avenue, Pepper's Corner, and Ballard. As you know, the intersection right now is skewed and kind of quite a lot of pavement there on Central Avenue. And we have worked with DelDOT and have agreed to straighten out that intersection for the area. And this is the site plan. It's a preliminary concept plan that we have presented to DelDOT, and as Janelle mentioned, you received a letter this morning saying that DelDOT is in favor of this plan with some adjustments to be made as it goes through the entrance plan approval process. So we, instead of that skewed intersection, Central now comes in at a right angle across our site access. We'll be providing left turn lanes into our site, as well as from Pepper's Corner Road into Central Avenue, and we'll be improving the right turn lane from Bayard onto Central. So I'd be glad to entertain any questions if you have any, if that's appropriate.
Okay, we'll wait till the conclusion of your presentation. Okay. We may ask to see you again.
All righty, I'll be here.
Okay, thanks. So we'll wait.
Good evening. I'm Mike Coben. I'm with George Miles and Buer. We're a registered engineer in Maryland and Delaware. As Jeff touched on earlier, the development will, the community will have public water be supplied, and that will be submitted to the Delaware State Fire Marshal's Office for review, and also the Office of Drinking Water, as well as the utility. Sanitary sewer service is to be public as well in the county. You have the engineering review in your package. Since that was done, there's also been a sanitary sewer service capacity evaluation done by the county. The site is in the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. Capacity is available for the site. The point of connection is to be in Bayard Road. There's an existing force main, 10-inch force main, that we will connect to. One of the conditions in order for the site to be annexed, the top blue figure up there, Meadows at Bayard, that's Privy Lane, will need to be annexed into the district as well. The owners of those properties have submitted a letter that they are willing and anxious to be annexed as well. So that will make us contiguous to the district. The county has also asked for the lower blue square there area to be served as well. And that is Janus Court. There are seven properties there. The logistics of that connection still has to be worked out with the county, but that will be done. There will be a pump station and gravity sewers within the development. Pump station will pump to the connection point at Bayard. And for stormwater management and erosion and sediment control, the site will be designed in accordance with the Delaware Sediment and Stormwater Regulations approved by the district. We have already had the pre-application meeting with them. A stormwater assessment study was done in conjunction with that, and the district is in accordance with the, or they're in agreement with the methods that we intend to use on the site. We've got four stormwater management facilities envisioned for the site. Three of those are 48-hour extended detention wet ponds, for a typical wet pond. And the last is a submerged gravel wetland. The central pond, the large feature, is actually, will become part of the tax ditch system. It's designed online with the tax ditch, and that area will be taken into the tax ditch easement. The others are offline. They will discharge into various portions of the tax ditches. DENREC, the tax ditch folks, have been consulted about this approach, and they have no problem with what we intend to do here. Let's see, subdivision streets. I think Jeff also touched on that. We're intending to have open drainage here, sidewalks on one side of the street, ditch on the other side of the street. We're proposing for the streets to be super elevated in the direction, so one side higher than the other, no crown, drain to the ditch on the one side. That will naturally have to be approved by the engineering department. I've had some discussions with Mr. Brady about that, but naturally he'll have to see the specifics before he can tell us whether that's acceptable or not. And part of the reason for that approach is to try to minimize the number of driveway culverts that you have, because under this approach, all the high side properties would not have to have driveway culverts, only the side that has the open channel. And that's about all I have.
Okay, thank you.
I want to touch on the comprehensive plan for a second, and the Goodwill Farm subdivision has been planned in accordance with the recently approved 2018 comprehensive plan. And we understand that technically, here this evening, we're still under the old land use plan. We also understand from discussions with the State Planning Office that the 2018 plan may be formally adopted sometime during the month of February. So with that said, the future land use component of the 2018 plan has established growth areas where the growth is signaled, future growth is expected. The entire Goodwill Farm site is mapped coastal areas on the 2045 future land use map. Coastal areas are one of seven growth areas defined and described in the 2018 plan. That plan seeks to encourage the county's most concentrated forms of new growth in those growth areas. The 2018 plan recognizes that the coastal growth areas in a region among the most desirable locations in Sussex County for new housing. Cluster development is encouraged that results in a permanent preservation of a substantial percentage of the tract being developed. And as I mentioned earlier, the Goodwill Farm subdivision is planned preserves in excess of 40% open space as that term is defined in the code. So therefore, Goodwill Farm conforms to and exceeds the planning goals of the 2018 plan. The Goodwill Farm project also conforms to the old comprehensive plan. As to the zoning and subdivision ordinances, all proposed subdivision design as we presented it here and as it's illustrated conforms to or exceeds the requirements of the Sussex County zoning and subdivision ordinances. The cover sheet on that preliminary site plan does outline in some detail more precisely how those ordinances are met. As I mentioned earlier, there is one exception that will require your approval, and that is that sidewalks are only on one side of the street. Tab number 8 in the supplemental data book contains a way more detailed written response to the 17 topics listed in subdivision ordinance chapter 999. Tab 9, we have prepared an environmental assessment and public evaluation report, which is required for environmentally sensitive development districts. As Michael mentioned, we have a lot of tax ditch court order changes. This site is crisscrossed with more ditches than I've ever seen in my career. There will be a need to apply for and obtain a number of those tax ditch court order changes to implement this plan. The changes primarily affect the width of the tax ditch maintenance easements. We're not relocating any ditches or eliminating any drainage or affecting our neighbor's drainage through our property. So the specific court order changes are outlined in tab 7 of the book. We've got graphics there, also the text of what those court order changes will be. As was mentioned earlier, the PLUS, we had attended PLUS, we've responded to PLUS, and those responses are in tab number 5 of the book. This plan was also subjected through the zoning office to the Technical Advisory Committee. The Technical Advisory Committee, or TAC, review comments are found in tab 10 with our responses. As I mentioned earlier, mapping and addressing has approved both the name of the subdivision and the streets that you see. And we have, as in the last tab, we have introduced Goodwill Farm proposed restrictive covenants. And so with that concludes our presentation, and I'm happy to try and address any questions you might have.
Well, Archie, we appreciate it. If you will stay right there for a second, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
I do have a couple questions. My first is from the PLUS review. They state the project is primary in level 4, which means they don't support the growth in this area. So I'm curious, I guess, first of all, I guess I would need some backup for the DLDOT aspect of it, why the state wouldn't acknowledge that this is a growth area. I'm on that road at least a couple times every single day. There's a lot of traffic on that road. So with them not showing the support on it, I guess I need more backup of why you think it's going to work. Showing that intersection where it is, the changes that you're proposing on that, I think would be a great idea, because that is a nightmare trying to get through there. But I would have a concern with it only having the one entrance. There's nothing that can be done on Byard.
So there was a recommendation in the PLUS comments to connect to Byard Road. We made a decision not to do that because it's on a curve. I'm not sure why DLDOT recommended that, but in my view, it's terrible planning. As to the level of service issue, you might know that level of service mapping was done in 2015. They're in the process now of redoing it for obvious reasons. It's 5 years old, and so it's out of step with your comprehensive plan that's about to be adopted here in 30 days. And so I asked that very question at the PLUS meeting. The answer they gave me is that the county has the last say on which projects are approved and not approved, and that they recognize that they're out of step with the new plan that you spent the last 2 years developing. So
they didn't offer anything, though, that they're looking at the area because there's so much growth in that area that needs to change. They need to make some improvements on those roads.
We expect
and
they will change.
What you're saying on the Byard Road curve, that Pepper's Corner curve, is just as bad.
Yeah.
With people coming around there.
I think with 104 lots, that one point of entry and exit is adequate.
Okay. So you're talking about the tax ditches and how many there are on there. You're saying you're not going to really change the design of the tax ditches. I'm concerned about the local or the areas that are next to it with the farming operations that may be going on. You're not going to alter what they have access to or how it's going to feed to dump water on them or to take water from them.
Well, we sort of are. We're not changing any alignments. We're not changing, we're not blocking any drainage coming onto or through our property. But as a part of the process with the tax ditch folks, the subdivision has to bear the expense of maintaining all the ditches on our property to their original design grades, which will serve to improve everything. Now we're not going to improve upstream or downstream, but everything within the boundaries of this property will be excavated to the original design grades when those tax ditches were originally done. So to that extent, we're improving the situation. I think we were excited that the tax ditch folks allowed us to introduce a sizable pond and to intercept that. That goes further than to increase the flow of that ditch. We're intercepting if there's any sediment coming downstream from the north, it's going to get captured in that pond. So. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, it sounds like you may be improving their situation. And then I think you said 500 feet off of central, that entrance, before any, off the edge of the road, before there's any residence? Is that correct?
Well, it's a planning tool. I don't want to see houses at the entrance on the entrance side, on the right-hand side, backing into the folks that are entering the subdivision. So there are no homes planned on that side until you get to the first intersection.
But on the other side, it's not 500 feet from the other side, it doesn't look like.
On the other side is the exiting side. It's a little different situation. But entering, again, as a, from a planning standpoint, you want to avoid having homes.
That's always a question of mine, because I don't like to see the homes right on top of the roadway on either side. okay, and then I think I missed the amenities. What are you planning to do with?
So in that, abutting that large pond, you'll see there's a swimming pool. Yes, right there. The swimming pool with a small clubhouse. And again, for a community of 100 lots, you can't burden them with too much if they can't afford to maintain it. So Mr. Harris, as you might know, has been developing properties for decades and realizes that this is the type of amenity they can support and they can afford and maintain, along with all the buffers that they have to maintain. There is a trail that goes around the edge of the lake and connects back to the sidewalk. And there are a lot of little park areas. If you look at the plan, there are a lot of areas that, and little neighborhoods that they'll have areas to walk their dogs or just have a place to play.
Sounds like you're trying to keep a lot of the trees from them.
About half the existing woods is going to be.
That's good. I think that was all I have.
Okay.
The ditches that are on the one side and the sidewalks on the other, are they concrete on the bottom?
Or no. Well, I hope not. I don't personally don't like that look, but they should be shallow. The county engineering rules do require us to have the grades are set up so that you're going to have pipes for each driveway. So the county engineering, well, actually it's in the code for street design. Super elevated streets are an allowable design tool. And so as Mr. Coben said, in this case, it eliminates half of the driveway pipes. Everybody on the sidewalk side just drive right into their garage. The downstream side, we will have swales, open swales, and driveway pipes for each of those, but it's all draining into that central pond. So it's a really convenient drainage tool for a site that sets up like this with that central water feature.
How about, do you have any open space?
Well, again, the open spaces are the sizable piece in the middle there. There's the lake, there's a piece that extends on down to the entrance. There are a number of parks. If you look at the areas that at the ends of these dead end streets are all have park areas associated with them, little neighborhood parks.
Janelle, can you make that a little bigger? Okay, thank you.
There we go. So for instance, Mr. Hopkins, if you see up that left-hand corner where the site is pointing, that's all open area up there. There's areas.
And pretty much for the kids to get around to those open spaces, they just ride their bikes down the street?
Well, there's sidewalks. So you see the white strip on one side of the street. So those sidewalks are continuous. They connect every residence to each other, and they connect the sidewalk systems also connect to that trail that's around the large water feature in the center of the property.
So will you have any kind of a bus stop area?
So that's something that will come out in the DLDOT entrance permit process. They'll decide as they go through that. And they distribute that to the bicycle folks, the bus folks. And so that will, if one is warranted, they will let us know and we'll have to place something out along near the intersection. But
is there parking or, you know, how the parents will pull out there in their car and let the kids, you know, wait for the bus and then jump in? Is there a place there at the entrance to provide that?
There is no parking for parents to wait for their children while they're getting on the bus. And the demographics here might dictate that the children living in this community would only be a handful. I think these are primarily second homes of retiree residences. Not that there won't be some, but it shouldn't be that much of a...
Everybody won't be lined up. The whole development won't be lined up.
Well, who knows, but I would guess not in this location.
I don't have any other questions, thanks.
Just a couple things. Back to the super elevated road, which was not a term I'm real familiar with, but I guess that means that you just have one side of the road higher than the other. And
it's exactly what it means.
Okay. What's the fall on that typically? I mean, how much fall is on a super elevated road?
I have no idea.
It would be 2% all the way across.
Okay.
So instead of having a crown with 2% going each direction, it would be 2% straight across.
Slope. Okay. And the elevation of the individual lots, because I just want to make sure that we're not, that this design doesn't create drainage issues on individual lots. How are they, what's the elevation of the individual lots relative to the road?
Well, of course, it hasn't been designed yet, but we are compelled to match or to meet the requirements of the Sussex Conservation District, so they will ensure that no one's going to have standing water in there.
Right, and that's it. Yeah, and that's the point I was getting at.
And this is one of those new ones that's going to have to go through all
the county's new drainage requirements.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a drainage plan for the whole subdivision and then all the way down to individual lots when they're...
It'll be exciting, I'm sure, yeah. Regarding the taxes, this is more of a curious question because I have some limited experience with tax ditch easements myself. What are the, are do you have easements here that are like 250 feet and so on, or that you're trying to get adjusted, and what are you trying to get them adjusted down to?
Well, the tax ditches have easements on both sides.
Right.
One's a whopper and one is not.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember exactly. I'd have to look at the book because we did show in there what we're requesting to take them down to, but they're allowing us to winnow them down pretty narrow on the side that they excavate from.
Right.
The side that they discharge to remains narrow. We're not tampering with those. So the one side is 16 feet.
Yeah.
The other side, I think we're taking them down to 20. But they're also allowing us to take some of the buffer right up to that line. So. They really were easy to work with and understood what we were trying to accomplish here. So that, in this case, the wooded buffers that surround the subdivision are going to be anywhere near the perimeter of the site. They're all going to be standing away from the property. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the tax ditches...
These are mostly 40s.
Yeah, we're reducing the wide side in most cases to 40 feet.
Okay.
And they're allowing us to push the wooded buffer into that some distance. They don't need 40 feet to get an excavator up and
right.
down.
No, of course not. Right, that's all I had. Staff on this side, anybody?
Very quick one for Mr. Clark, if I could, please. There's a little break, Mr. Clark, in the open space on the north. Is that for maintenance of the tax ditches, or is that for potential interconnectivity? Because there's a little tiny break there.
So I'm not sure I know exactly where you're...
On the north side, next to prong 6, adjacent to lot number 21. You see there's a small break in the landscape buffer there?
It's for the tax ditch right-of-way.
That's right.
There's a number of them. There's one there. They're all through here. Here's another area.
Thank you. I thought so. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Pullman?
None, thank you.
Councilor?
Two follow-ups, because you all asked a lot of questions. Following up with the tax ditches, the preliminary site plan, is that designed based on the assumption that those amendments will be made to the tax ditch easements?
Well,
or is it?
We've met with those folks
okay.
a number of times, and that's why I included the drawings and
right.
in the text of what we're requesting.
Yeah, well, that was my question, because it sounds like they've been requested and it hasn't been finalized. So that, just in terms of how this sort of moves on parallel paths forward, you know, the final site plan is going to incorporate those final determinations about the tax ditch easements.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
In fact, it's even a little more cumbersome because the stormwater folks won't act on the stormwater plan in a final fashion until you've got the tax ditch folks squared away, and
right.
They're not
They take a water.
Oh, no, I understand. And that's why I was kind of asking if this, it sounds like all those parts are going to line up, but the preliminary site plan is based on the assumption that those will all be acted on favorably and finalized.
That's correct.
Okay.
And again, we've been with them meetings several times to get to this point.
Then just, we talked about a little bit, one of the commissioners asked about the other entrance, but that shows up as lot 104, which looks like a standalone lot.
It is.
Is that part of the subdivision, or how are we treating that? Because it doesn't have, it looks like its own access from an internal subdivision road.
It does not. It's about 3/4 of an acre, I believe, in size, and that will be, and it meets the requirements of a lot fronting on Byard Road. As opposed to creating any feature out there or extending the street out there. And I guess in deference to the folks that live there, there will be no lights shining out there as a result of traffic coming and going when we cut in that dead-end street. So between the buffers and the houses being a buffer themselves, it should maintain their privacy.
Okay, but is that gonna, so that's not, it doesn't show, you know, the the footprint area or the buildable area, I guess, of a lot. So is that just going to be separate from the rest of the subdivision?
It is.
Okay.
It
all right. I just wasn't sure how you all are treating that. Okay. That's all the questions I had. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. All right, sir. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2018-24 Goodwill Farms? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Good evening, Tom Ford. I live directly across from the lot that is not being within the subdivision. And I've lived there for 38 years. We have 5.5 acres just right immediately across. I always knew this land would be developed someday, and I always feared headlights coming in and out of that, coming into my home. So I appreciate the land plan before you. And I also appreciate the improvements to that intersection up on Pepper's Corner. I've lived there long enough that it was actually myself who got the stop sign put in, and I had George Howard Bunting put that in for us. But it's still a very dangerous corner. I appreciate what Betty did in straightening it out. I think it would be an improvement to the traffic and safety to the area. Saying all those good things about it, I just have only one concern, and that's the culvert at the bottom of where the drainage will occur across Byard Road. And since my property has about 700 feet along the Williams Canal, I'm just concerned that the culvert is properly sized when they do the stormwater planning. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2018-24? Yes, sir, come on up.
My name's Kyle McCabe, and I'm a resident of Byard. My family has been a resident of Byard since the early 1800s, and I'm proud to stand here and say that. Okay. I'm gonna start with the road. The alternate 54, it's a very dangerous road. The speed limit is 50 miles per hour. I did think this is the first time I've seen the land plan. I thought I'd missed the meeting because the sign says January 7th. So I had in my notes that there's two blind curves, two intersections, and one 90 degree turn in the containment of this development. There's no bicycle lanes out there, there's no sidewalks, and there's no shoulder on that road, and it's very congested in the summertime. There's new construction in the area. We still don't know the impact of that fully. And I was riding down those roads today, and they were all flooded. The ditches that they had put in were overflowing, and basically it was one lane of traffic waiting to go around it. I also have been, I've done an environmental program out on my land. I've been working on it for 25 years. I'm currently in the planning of an easement for the tax ditch you're talking about there. I've been working with Rob Gorski at the NRCS, and we're also working with the FSA. I'm afraid of noise pollution, light pollution. I'm afraid of trespassers. I am concerned, since I've seen this for the first time today, about the lots that will back up onto my property, and there's no thing to keep the flooding out. There's no barrier between my property and their lots. The cell tower, I'm not sure if they included that in the density, but there is an easement on the cell tower. And this project is definitely going to cause more congestion from entering and exiting 100 houses from that Byard Road to Central Avenue. This project will cause more pedestrian and car interactions because they're inevitably going to try to ride their bikes to Assawoman, which is down the street. I try to do it. It's deadly. I mean, it is absolutely deadly to try to ride a bike around that 90-degree turn there and everything. And I really wish you guys would think about this area because it's very important to me. It's very important to a lot of people around us. There's an Assawoman wildlife there, and I'm trying to do something that works with Assawoman. I work with Rob Gano down there, and I'm very happy with what has taken place over the years, and I would like to think that I can continue my efforts. Like I said, I'd like to see more of a buffer between my area and what they have planned here. I'm concerned about hydrology. When I was out there with Mr. Gorski this week, we were talking about how the ditches were overflowing on this property and that the ditches in the field were level with the ditches, with the level of the water in the field was level with the water in the ditches. So they were saying that the whatever, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little nervous, but the groundwater level is almost on the ground. It's literally that high. And I'm concerned about the density of the project. And I think we could just slow down in this area. It's one of the last rural beach communities that we have. There's a state park there, and there's a lot that could be done to make this a jewel. You know, I mean, there's Rehoboth up there that's nice. We could really make Bethany Beach and this area with the parks and all that, but we need sidewalks. We need shoulders. We need bike lanes. People are dying. I know of 2 or 3 accidents that have occurred there, and I know of many more that my neighbors have told me about. And I just wish you would consider all this. I left my note. I copied my notes, if I could give them to you guys.
Mr. McCabe,
yes.
Where exactly do you live in relation to this?
I'm going to be on the northwestern side, and I own the tax ditch. Keep going up. Yes. I own 76 acres also, and I do recreational everything on my land. I have ponds. I've a lot of kids. With my projects, I've tried to orient it towards kids, and a lot of kids have come to my land, and that's the first place they've caught a fish in my pond because I get trout from the state of Delaware, and I actually put them in my pond so kids can go fishing in March and get outside. I take kids rabbit hunting with Mr. Hocker on this property. I mean, just numerous kids have killed their first deer out there. And, you know, the hunting thing and preserving wildlife goes together because it's people who hunt that actually try to save places. And I really, like I said, I want you to consider my feelings. There's a lot of other people around here that have these feelings, but I stood up here tonight and said it to you. So thank you.
Well, that's what we thank you. Is there anyone else would like to speak in opposition? All right, then. Anyone else on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.